Hi, hello. You are listening to Stirring the Pot on KVSH, Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM in our beautiful downtown Vashon, Washington.
It's a buzz on the streets today.
It is a buzz on the streets today. We are enjoying an incredible summer while we all complain about the heat. we're so blessed with sunshine and it's just lovely, but everyone is saying, I can't wait for the rain. Anyway, we have lots going on these days, but first I'd like to say hi to Tom Conway.
Howdy, ma'am.
Sitting here manning a mic.
I know, I'm in my best behavior.
Are you? For a minute, anyway.
For at least a
just
minute.
Just for a minute, yeah. And at the control center, we have Mr. Truman O'Brien.
At the nerve center.
He's like
the Captain Kirk.
It's
he's
like
in his
NASA.
Chair.
I know we've said this before, but we got a whole new system in this studio, and it's quite amazing to look at with all the different lights and the buttons, and it's all digital. And
you know what's weird is because, and it's more complicated, but it actually looks simpler for some reason.
It looks simpler.
It looks
to
like
me.
It's like organized in a uh-huh. very intuitive way, though I don't know what one single button on that thing does.
Right. I there is an on off button.
There you go.
That one I can do. Yeah.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I flunked 3 training sessions with the old board. So when they were getting a new board, I just said, that's it. I give up. I can't do this. Uh-huh. And so then they got the new board and I said to Truman, well, maybe I can learn this board. And he just kind of looked at me like,
oh, honey,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that cute?
She wants to learn.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I said that to somebody the other day. They were telling me that their 96-year-old mom, who lives in West Virginia, uh-huh. fell down and broke something. And he left Vashon and went back there for a while to help her. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, well, how old is she? And he said, 96. And I said, oh, bless her heart. And he said, are you from the South? And I said, no. And he said, oh, okay, then it's okay that you said it. Because, you know, in the South,
well, that's the
it means something different in the South.
Yeah, but there is also, like, they're able to catch, you're also able to understand that it has multiple uses, and that was the sincere one.
Well, it was.
It was.
And
yeah.
I kind of, you know, my upbringing is Montana and Canada, mm-hmm. and they mean it when they say, "Oh, bless your heart." Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. It's not a.
Instead
here, bless
of saying
your heart
like,
while I stab you.
Yeah, it's all saying like, in the way you say it.
Yeah. I guess.
Oh,
I
she's
guess.
A train wreck.
Yeah.
Those were my favorite descriptions.
Well, we just have a lot of things we're going to talk about today, but I would encourage you listeners to get your notepad out because we're going to talk about actual recipes, and we'll give you some really good seasonal recipes for mainly stone fruits at this time of year because we're running into some beautiful fruit right now. Mm-hmm. But first, let's get caught up. What have you been doing, Mr. Conway?
You know, I am gleefully beside myself because my peaches I'm harvesting peaches. Mm. They're just starting. Otherwise I'd have brought you some.
Do they have, do you have different peach trees?
Or I do.
Yeah.
I do. I have several that do well in the elements here, which mm-hmm. is hard. Mm-hmm. There's only a few varieties that do well because mm-hmm. of our wet climate in the winter. That's what it is. Not so much the summer. It creates a particular, fungus that it deforms the leaves and then the tree can't photosynthesize and then it goes, well, hell, we're not making peaches.
And I always thought it was because we didn't have enough hot sun long enough in the summertime.
You know, that makes perfect sense, but no,
it's not it.
It's the wetness of our winters.
Uh-huh.
Usually if you
everything molds in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. You can spray a copper fungicide if you like to spray stuff. I try to just get one that's resistant, mm-hmm. and they're few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes them a while before they become resistant.
Well,
they sort of like go, we're going to look like crap for a few years, and then we're going to kick in. And
so how many years has this experiment been going on?
The ones in my front orchard, about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are great.
And how long did they take to produce?
About 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad.
Not too bad. But then I have them in my greenhouse.
Right.
And those are like... they are like bathing beauties.
They're
like
so
California.
Happy. Are they? Is that what these are that you have that are ripe now?
They're the ones coming in, yes.
Yes.
There's one called Suncrest, which is it was sort of memorialized in the book, not Ode to a Peach. I'll think of it in a minute. It was written by a Mr. Matsumoto about his family peach farm. Mm-hmm. But Suncrest is one of reputed to be one of the best peaches, and I would agree, it's really good. And then I have a couple that are new varieties that do really well. Mm-hmm. Undercover, but I just Contender, and one called I have some little dive donut peaches.
Oh yeah,
like
I think you gave me
some Galaxy
last year.
And yes, this one called really Buenos. Good. Buenos.
Oh, I like the Buenos.
Buenos is
bueno.
So good. Yeah. Yeah, so those, and then apricots my apricots are finally kicking in the greenhouse, and so I'll be making my favorite jam.
Oh, it's my favorite jam, it's too. You know that, though.
I do, and you get jars of plenty.
Yes, I do, and it's just such a lovely, lovely gift.
Thank you.
We don't exchange Christmas or birthday or
just
anything.
Just smart remarks.
But smart remarks and jam.
Jam.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Mr. Turbin.
It's for you, Tom.
Okay.
So my wife has tomatoes this year,
yeah,
as she always does, mm-hmm. but she let them sit in the kill zone for quite a while before she planted them. I call it the kill zone.
I was going to say, what is now? Please explain the kill zone.
She buys stuff and puts it on the porch. And,
oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely the kill zone.
Yeah. But anyway, it took a while to plant them, and she finally did.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not growing up tall. They're very short. They're starting to put on fruit or mm-hmm. vegetable, whatever that is.
But they're not thriving.
But they're not really, you know how they usually grow? These aren't. And she is wondering if, because she left them there so long, they became root bound, because she didn't really,
definitely give that like the 80% chance of what, and plus what it does, it kind of stunts the plant. The plants, it stresses it. And if what you can do in the future, like if you do it again, is just, you can plant it extra deep. Like tomatoes are one of the few plants that you can plant deeper than what the root ball is, because the stem will grow roots. Most plants will die if you do that,
right?
But not a tomato.
Ah.
And so it gives it more roots to grow and hopefully kick in the rest of it.
Okay.
But tomatoes are really sensitive to that. So are peppers and eggplant. Like once you get them in the ground.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people here get them so early that it's hard to get them in the ground.
You know, that's
probably what it
her
was.
Her excuse is, it was just too darn cold.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was afraid to. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could put a cloche over it.
Okay.
You know about cloches, Linda?
Cloches? I do know about cloches.
Okay.
Yes.
For people
who
like cloisters?
Is it a cloister?
A cloche. Yeah. It's a glass, it's basically a protective environment you put over it, like a clear bucket or in France,
anything really,
anything that's clear and lets
old
the sun
coffee
in.
Can.
Well,
if it's big enough,
it needs to let light in.
Oh,
so you could take one of those carboys and cut the top off.
True. That.
Or we could fly to France where they made where they came from and
that's
get the fancy hand blown ones. That
oh, there you go.
Yeah,
okay, those are good.
Thank you
for that.
It's my pleasure.
We are blessed here in the studio today because Tom did a little baking for us from the peach tree he so reverently speaks of.
The braggart that I am.
The braggart that you are and the wonderful baker that you are. So tell us about this delicacy that we just gobbled down.
This is a great, it's one of my go-to recipes, and I got it from a friend of mine, Eileen. She grew up in the Amana and we became, first of all, we became friends. I have a blog, Tall Clover Farm, and she had a blog called Passions to Pastry. And we became friends because we'd be communicating.
Through that,
yeah.
Okay.
And she's, you know, I've never met her, but I've met her online.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just the coolest woman.
I have friends like that too. It's really quite the wondrous thing about social media, really.
It
that's
really
what
is.
The good thing
is. We connected, and she loves to, she's an artist. And
well,
she's,
that's how we met.
Yeah, that
you
is
and
true.
I met through.
That's right. You were stalking me.
I was stalking you.
I get these little missives in the night, like, what are you wearing?
No, it's what are you eating?
Oh, what are you eating? That's right. That was somebody else. What are you wearing? So my friend Eileen, this was her recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those where what's great about it is, you know, we all have recipes that you can just pull out of your back pocket.
Sure.
Or you could memorize and that you use all the time, because it's good. It's just good. It always, it never fails you. And this is one of those. And it's an almond cake that has almond flour in it and regular flour. Mm-hmm. And you, you top it with fruit of your choice. Like I started making it with Rainier cherries, which was like super fancy, but really good. And then I'd move on to peaches and or apricots, and I move on to peaches the next season. And then I'd move on to plums. And then I'd also do apples in the fall. And it's a lot like the recipe I believe that I've done before from the New York Times, but it's a I think it's a little more refined. It's that they say it's the most popular recipe ever, and it's that one, that plum buckle or the plum.
That's a good recipe.
It's a really good recipe. And this is very much you want me to tell you how to make it?
Yes, please.
Okay, cool.
So get your pens out.
Yeah.
Start writing.
And it's good. There's nothing too crazy in it. So you pretty much all available if you have butter in you, if you have dairy products.
Yeah, got to have some butter.
So you take two sticks of butter. It's important to have your stuff room temperature too. So you're going to have two sticks of butter. And if they're out of the fridge, you can put them on your microwave about 10 seconds. You know, you just want them to get soft. And then you whip the butter for about 5 minutes, just the butter. And you get it all fluffy and frothy and scrape it down on the sides. And then you put in 3/4 cup of sugar. And you just sort of, while it's mixing with the butter, and then you scrape it down again. And you do, you let it paddle or mix for another 5 minutes until it gets incorporated and fluffy. And then you take 2 room temperature eggs. Room temperature is important because you don't want to chill the butter back again.
Right.
And so just one at a time, get the other one mixed up, scrape it down, put the second one in. And so you've got, you just whip it another 5 minutes with the eggs and you get this big sort of frothy golden glow of goodness. Anyway, so that's sort of the wet ingredients. And then you just put in, like I put in like a cap full, which is like a half teaspoon of almond extract.
I was going to ask you if you used extract.
And almond so sort of good. Bumps up the flavor. And then I use a teaspoon of vanilla and put that in there. And then, so that's all mixed up. And you can do your thing where it's all your, a lot of times recipes have you put all your dry ingredients in the same bowl and then put it in.
In a separate bowl. One, you have two separate bowls.
I find you don't really have to do that with this one. Just don't go crazy and overmix it. So I take a cup of almond flour or almond meal and mix it lightly until it's incorporated. And then add a cup of all-purpose flour and a teaspoon.
Are you using cake flour or just regular flour?
Just regular flour.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to because of the almond flour and almond meal. It's a dense thing. So then you you mix that up. So like you had 1 cup of flour, almond, and 1 cup of all-purpose wheat flour, 1 teaspoon of salt, and you mix all that up. And then I'm doing it a little differently because I watched this other chef talk about baking powder, putting it at the very end. So normally I would put 1 teaspoon of baking powder in, but I'm waiting to do it at the end. And so before that, you put in 1/4 cup of yogurt. And quarter cup of yogurt works, quarter cup of, you know, if, you can also use milk, but I think yogurt is the, probably the
sour
best.
Sour cream
would work beautifully. Yeah. You mix it all up and then I put in 1 teaspoon of baking powder and then you stir it all up and it's a really thick. It's a thick batter. And once it's incorporated and looks rich and wonderful, stop. You don't have to go crazy. And then I put it in a springform pan, usually with a crumpled up parchment paper so it's easy to, you know, get out of there. And you just smooth it around until it's even all the way through. And then you just load it up with the fruit of your choice. So in this case, I think I had 4 peaches.
Okay.
And I sliced up 4 peaches. I didn't even peel them because the peel just it goes away.
And it adds so much flavor.
It does. And so then once you get that all on the top, you sort of move it around so it's covering the top. And then I take 3 tablespoons of sugar and you sprinkle it all on the top so it kind of caramelizes a little bit and crunches up the top. And then you bake it at 350. The recipe says 1 hour. It's never an hour. It's usually like 1 hour and 20 minutes, 1 hour and 25. And
did you do the toothpick routine?
I did. And what's great is you can really keep it in there forever and it doesn't burn because it's such a moist cake.
Right.
It's a moist cake.
Well, it's very, very good. There's my favorite Thanks. Word. Too.
Exactly.
It's really good.
It's
Thank you
solid.
For bringing
yeah,
that in.
It's so yeah. good. I
it's
say.
A dependable recipe.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And it's
not tricky.
Not tricky.
That's what we like.
It's a
not
crowd
tricky,
pleaser.
Dependable restaurant recipe. I wanted to make one comment
yes.
that might embarrass Truman, but the whole time you were giving the instructions, Truman was demonstrating. He was measuring. He was mixing with his hand. He was pouring it down with a teaspoon, and he was visualizing. His hands were so busy making that
hand.
Cake.
I went, "Oh, I'm making the cake. I know."
You know, and what's probably great is probably like some educator listening goes, "So that's what you do
that's
if you want to learn
do.
How to make it."
Well,
you know?
It is true.
Yeah. You visualize yeah. what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
I was visualizing turning.
You know,
stuff
we were talking about that last night. Actually, there's a thing called. Motor memory or something yeah. uh-huh. like that. And if you don't know how to do something, yeah. Kat Eggleston was talking about this actually and how she uses this method to teach guitars. And she said, you know, maybe someone can play a really simple chord, but they can't get that complicated one going. And so they go through this mental visual thing, you know, and it's like that with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like athletes do that. They yeah. visualize. Mm-hmm. So Truman's visualizing this cake, and I think he's probably going to make it now.
Well, I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I didn't write it down, so I'll have to.
And I can send you the link, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
go. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Tom.
I have to tell you, though, there was a guy in the prison camp in Vietnam, you know, North Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
And he took a board. And he painted a keyboard on it, a piano keyboard. And he practiced every day on that board.
Wow.
Just, you know, practiced to get the muscle memory.
Wow.
And when he got home, he played beautifully.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's a good use of time. When
it's
you're
a heartbreaking story.
It's heartbreaking, yeah. really.
It's lovely, but heartbreaking, yeah.
That's that muscle memory thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and making the best of it. Beyond bad situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to more Stone Fruit stories from you, too, you know.
Yeah. Well, what have you been doing? What's your big you've been baking a lot because I've been watching your Facebook post. Uh-huh. And I've been going, well, I guess that texting doesn't work when you live in town and you live on the other side of it.
Oh, you mean for an invitation?
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, you know, I've been really busy. I think, I was honored to be asked to help cook for the Russian pianist troupe that came through for Piano Fet at Vashon Center for the Arts. And my friends Jeff and Marcia and I made meals for them 4 nights in a row when they are done. You know, they like to eat after uh-huh. the performance. Of course, they don't eat before the performance. And so we did a lot of really, for me, tried and true recipes. Everything, I had made everything that we did, but I came up with a menu. Marcia asked me to do that, so I did that. And they're very low carb conscious. They like to keep their nice girlish figures, you know. And
is protein,
yeah. And so we just had a ball doing that. It was a lot of hard work.
Now, are these the same people that were here last year?
Yes, they come every year.
Oh, so you're like familiar now.
Yeah, I know them now, and I just love them. I adore them. They're beautiful people and such incredible talent. And you know, they love the food. It's home cooking, you know. And I don't know if you know this or not, but they don't do this. These four people are out in the world separately all year long.
Oh.
And they reconverge in Vashon every year, and they do this special show just for Vashon because they love Vashon so much.
That's pretty awesome.
It's really awesome. And
I bet it's really nice for them, too. They're getting to reconnect and
right and they get to be they stay in someone's home, you know, people host them. And
plus when you're playing when you're at that caliber of musician, mm-hmm, and you're mm-hmm. playing with other musicians of that caliber, I'm sure it's an extraordinary experience
is.
For all involved.
Yeah, it really is. And I guess this is not about the food, but the one of the highlights for me was that the last night Slava is the name of the director of the group, mm-hmm. and he's a composer and an incredible musician, born in Russia. And he got up and talked a little bit to introduce the program for that night, and he said, "This is about America. This is Americana music." And they played, I don't know, Rhapsody in Blue. Mm-hmm. And then
Copeland or something.
Yeah, some other really, you know, I can't think of them off the top of my head. But then there was a little break, and he said, and now we're really going to do America. And they played America the Beautiful, and they played the Star Spangled Banner. And I can't remember what else. Truman, do you remember what else they played?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was like, it's like the theme from Lonesome Dove. It wasn't,
but it's that kind of thing. It was just amazing. He said in the beginning, if you know the words, sing along. If you don't know the words, you'll know the tune, so hum. So there was audience participation in that. And after it was over, I went back into the kitchen to, you know, do the thing before they come out. And, of course, they socialize in the lobby with people for a minute before they come back into the kitchen and dining area. And when he came in the room, I was so pleased. He gave me a great big hug, and then I gave him a great big hug, and I said, you know, for the first time in a long time hearing that music, it made me proud to be an American, and I felt it for the first time in a long time. And he said during his little talk before he introduced all the music that he has just become an American citizen, and he's so proud to be an American. And he said, you know, yeah, things are a little tough right now, but there's nothing like America, and you have no idea what it's like in Russia. So I did that. That was fun.
What a nice moment.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really lovely, and I look forward to seeing them again next year.
And he said that was it. He had had his first ride in the back of a police car.
Yes. They got locked out of their car and out of VCA when they were having a rehearsal at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And they got locked out. And so they thought, well, I guess we'll walk. So they're walking from VCA toward town. And, you know, there's four of them.
Are they staying at the lodges or something?
No, they're staying in different homes.
Oh, okay.
And so, and I don't know where they are, but but this was on the way to town. And so a police car drove by and wonders, you know, at 2:15 in the morning, what.
And they're Russian.
And they're Russian. And what are they doing?
And they're
walking.
And they're well dressed.
And they're dressed in gowns. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they're and so he stopped, and they all got in the back of the police car and gave him a ride. And Slava said, you know, you can't open those back doors. So that was a big adventure for them, and they've had a lot of laughs about it. But he was very nice and took them all home. So
nice.
Yeah. And that's Vashon.
Yeah.
You know.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
Really great.
So let's see, beyond that, you know, I made some homemade tortillas the other day. And I haven't done that in years. I don't know why.
They look really good.
Well, you know, I really don't like store-bought flour tortillas. I don't like them. They stick to the top of your mouth when you eat them. And even when you put them on the griddle, you know, to heat them and make them, they don't. They're not. So I remember I used to make them all the time. And so I thought, I want a taco, and I want a good one. I want a soft taco with a flour tortilla. I'm going to do it myself.
That could be like a good children's book. Mommy wants a taco.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would encourage everybody to make them. They're so easy.
I have a taco press.
Well, you don't even really need it.
I mean, a tortilla press.
A tortilla, yeah. A taco press. Yeah, well, that would be good. Yeah. You don't really need one. I don't think you need one. I mean, you can use it. It makes it a little bit easier, but yeah. I just roll it out with a rolling pin. And when I was learning, I made lots of hearts and triangles, and, you know, it was hard to get them perfectly round like
right.
The mamacitas
like
do.
It was more like a pizza.
Kind of, yeah. So I just want to share a little recipe with people for those, because they're so easy. So you just put 2 cups of flour in a bowl, about a...
All-purpose?
Yep, regular old flour. Regular flour. We're not talking corn tortillas.
Okay,
we're talking flour.
Okay, flour.
So 2 cups of flour, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, and then 3 tablespoons of lard. And if you're using lard, don't use that stuff in the blue box at the grocery store. Go to your butcher and get leaf lard. You can use lard, you can use butter, you can use Crisco, you can use oil.
Okay.
You can even use olive oil. The point is you need some oil, some greasy stuff in there. So this time I used oil. I used like regular vegetable oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that is...
Was that something new for you to
Yeah,
use?
Because I usually use either butter or lard.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like going to the store.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, you mix that up like you're doing a pie dough.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't you don't want to overmix it either. And it's okay to have lumps in it.
Do you do the fat and the flour before the water?
Yes.
Okay.
And then when that's all mixed up, you add about 3/4 of a cup of water, but you kind of have to eye that, you know.
Sure.
And when you get, when it will form a round little dough ball inside your bowl and stick together, you take it out and knead it maybe 10 times. Mm-hmm. On a floured board or your floured counter or whatever. And then the really important, most important part of this is to cover it with a clean tea towel and let it rest anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes. I mean, it has
so
to rest.
So resting is a big deal.
It's a big deal. And I don't know the science behind mm-hmm. that, but I've done it both ways. I've got, I don't need to let this rest. And they're not the same. Mm-hmm. So then I just use, I don't have a kamal, which is what they call the proper pan to cook. It's a cast iron, flat, no rim pan. I used to have one, but I gave it away. So I just used my cast iron skillet, my big 12-inch one. And you heat it medium high, maybe. And you don't put any oil in it. And just roll out your tortillas and put them in there one at a time. And they'll bubble up. Mm. They get a big bubble on them. And when they bubble, there used to be, I knew a wonderful woman from San Antonio who taught me how to make these. And when that bubble happens, she would take her clean tea towel and smash that bubble down and then turn it over. Then it would bubble again, and she'd do the same thing. And then you come out with a tortilla that is flat, and it's got those little places of crunchy brown on it, and it's soft enough to roll. Hmm. Then another important thing is to put it in another clean tea towel, you know, fold it up in fourths, and put that tortilla in there and cover it. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes its own steam and it stays hot. And it's best to eat them right away.
Sure.
You can put them in the freezer and you can have them tomorrow, but they're never as good as right away. So that was really fun. And I decided then, why aren't I doing this all the time whenever I want a taco? Because mm-hmm. it's kind of therapeutic. It's a little like bread making, a little bit, you know?
Totally.
So I certainly would suggest that. And then...
Did you make something else? You made something else, didn't you?
Well, I've been doing a lot of cooking. I made...
That's what I thought.
I made a... Talking about... We wanted to talk about stone fruits.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of on that kick right now.
Sure.
I made, from the New York Times, halloumi. You know what halloumi is? It's a cheese. I think it might be Turkish or mm-hmm. Greek. It's a cheese that you can fry that doesn't melt. It's white. A little... like a cross between feta and mozzarella. So I made a halloumi, peach, and cucumber salad. And it was new to me. I just followed the recipe. It's in the New York Times. But it mm-hmm. is, you
is
take...
Is that it? I think that's it.
I don't know. Is that the cucumber? Or is that the cucumber
it's
peach?
It's the watermelon peach
yeah,
salad.
Yeah, that's the watermelon
peach. My go-to
peach
summer
one.
Salad.
Yeah, that's the one I made a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
This one I just made yesterday.
Okay.
And it's... So you get that halloumi, which they have at Thriftway, and you cut it into cubes and pat it dry because it's kind of wet. And then you fry it, and it fries and it gets brown, and it's like a little like tofu, frying tofu.
Do you like it?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay.
It's a cross between crunchy and melty.
Oh, okay,
it's
cool.
It's just lovely. And then, so you do that, and then you put almonds in it, like maybe a quarter cup of sliced almonds, and then... the little Persian cucumbers, slice that.
Those are great. They're so easy to get now.
I know, and they're so good. So anyway, you put your halloumi and almonds in a bowl, and then you add the cucumbers, some peaches, like maybe two or three.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be not overripe because you need to be able to slice them well.
Okie doke.
Some onion, and what else? Let me see. Oh, a little bit of olive oil, and some big... pinches of salt and pepper. And then all you do is squeeze two limes over it and stir it up and eat it. It is to die for. It is so good and easy.
It sounds really good.
It's really good. And it's healthy.
And wonderfully unique.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought, well, that is so... And they call it a spoon salad, which I'm not quite sure why that's called a spoon salad. But they suggested, too, that you can add some greens if you want to, or you can add lentils or if you want more protein. If you want like a main course, add some lentils or some chickpeas to it, which I would never do.
I'm so glad you said that. I was just ready to make a face and go, no.
No, I would never do that. But, you know, there are people who will.
Yeah.
But I don't add chickpeas to anything.
I don't either. I don't chickpeas.
I can't.
Lentils are good as lentils, but I'm never... just
as soup, maybe.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I don't want a spoonful of lentils.
No,
and I don't know. You know, that's right. Like, really, a sin to say on Vashon.
I was just gonna say we're gonna have
people are gonna
people
say,
blocking
oh my
the
God.
Door and torching us.
Have you ever
us.
Eaten a good lentil?
Well, apparently you've never had a good lentil, have you?
You've never had a good lentil.
You've never
burger.
Had my lentils.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and then one more really short one.
Sure.
Plums.
You could do a long one. We even let you do a long one.
You know how. What, Tom?
I just have to tell you, I just remembered we had this friend whose wife was not well educated, shall I say.
Okay.
And she said, have you seen that Barbara Streisand movie, Lentil?
Papa, can you hear me? I'm a lentil.
Lentil. Excuse me.
Sorry,
yeah. You know, I'm big on the stone fruit, obviously. I've said that 12 times already. How about stir-fried pork with plums and herbs?
That sounds great.
Oh, gosh, was it good. I made it for
myself
yesterday.
Oh, you made it
already? Yes.
Excellent.
I had to.
So how does it, do you make enough to, like, just for one meal, or do you make it for just, do you make what they suggest,
this
a serving size for four?
This is four servings. Everything's four servings. But really, their servings are really, it's probably two servings.
Too petite.
Really.
Yeah, really.
And so I have some in the fridge now.
Okay.
And I don't know what it'll be like to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to invite anybody
over
because what if it wasn't bad? What if it wasn't good?
I appreciate that thoughtfulness.
You know, because if I had invited you and it was awful, then we'd have to talk about that on the radio.
We might have had to break up.
And it would be just really embarrassing.
Exactly.
So I didn't invite you.
But you could have put, you know what? You could put that on your tortillas. That sounds really good to me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You could.
And put some other cheese on there.
Like queso fresco.
Si.
Yeah. Okay, so how you do this is...
Wait, what are we talking about again?
We're talking about stir-fried pork with plums and fresh herbs.
All right.
Okay, you got it? You with me?
Got it.
All right, so you grate a clove of garlic. I grated two. You know, I always add a little more garlic.
You're extra.
Yeah, a little extra.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's you're making a dressing. You're making a dressing here. And so you mince some garlic and about a two-inch piece of ginger. So grate that. Quarter cup of red wine vinegar, 2 tablespoons of fish sauce, and then a tablespoon of soy sauce, and 2 tablespoons of dark brown sugar, and then a little sesame oil and a few sesame seeds. And so you put that in a little bowl and put it away. Just let it sit there for a while. You can add some crushed red pepper if you want some heat. And then you're using pork belly.
Where the fat ratio is higher than the meat ratio.
Well, you know, you can use a pork belly will come without all that fat. There are butchers that do that for you, but I don't know why, because you might as well just have a pork chop.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, exactly.
So I splurged and got a pork belly and it had all the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you cut that into cubes. And then you know, trusty cast iron skillet, brown those, make them nice and brown, but you still want the centers kind of plump and juicy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to dry
crispy,
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 5 minutes, 8 minutes, maybe at the most. And then you turn the heat down a little bit on those and add the oil and the plums and cook it. You don't stir it. You just let it sit over that medium heat until it gets caramelized.
Hmm.
And then after it's caramelized, you turn the heat way back up and pour in the sauce all at one time. And it'll get sticky. It's like a glaze. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have dinner. You serve it with rice or, you know, whatever. It's to die for.
That'd be really good. You know what else would be really good is if you did sort of like a chef a nod of like fresh greens.
Well, yeah. So they
put it on top of that.
They're saying arugula.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they say?
Lentils.
Lentils. Put some chickpeas in it.
Put some chickpeas in it. So fabulous.
No. Arugula or radicchio.
Radicchio, yeah.
Radicchio would be good.
I'm a big fan of like Boston lettuce for that kind of thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sort of whatever greens or herbs you want to put it on. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't add a lot of herbs. I wanted this taste. It's kind of it's a fresh, fruity, Chinesey, Korean-y kind of, I don't know, it's a little everything taste, but it's so good.
There's a string of adjectives that have never been spoken.
Oh, you know what? I didn't tell you.
What
else? It's 6 plums.
Oh.
And those are quartered and pitted.
Okay.
So there's big chunks of plums. And it's got scallions and, well, it says cilantro and I didn't put any in. So you could.
Yeah.
And cilantro would be good.
Yeah.
And then serve it however you want to serve it.
So you put the plums in at last? They're not really cooked. They're just kind of stirred in.
Well, no, you, let's see what, well, after you've caramelized, they're done the pork.
Yeah.
You put the plums in then.
Oh, okay.
And well, so they're pretty cooked. They're pretty cooked, but they're not mushy like plum jam. You don't cook them. They still hold their form. So yeah, I would encourage you to try that recipe because it's fresh and it's clean and it's fairly healthy, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
it sounds
it's
good.
It's good. So,
and it's one of those, it sounds like it's really good. I really like recipes that are at least as good or if not better the next day. And the
I'm eager to see, and I bet this is one of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I bet it is one of them. You know, I mean, even taco meat is better the next day,
exactly.
As I well know. I've proven recently.
But you let that flavor kind of absorb into the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So did you go to Strawberry Festival, you guys?
Heck yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
You were in the parade, I suppose.
Nope. I usually am in the parade because I love a parade. But I was, I was a bystander, which was great. I liked it because I'd never get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun.
It was a fun celebration. I didn't spend a lot of time there. Saturday, I got up and took a shower and got all dressed and intended to go. And I got about, I was, because I'm within walking distance.
I would say.
And so I thought, I'm going to just go this morning. And all of a sudden I went, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned around and went home. And then the next morning I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. So I went down and.
For the car parade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
Sunday.
You know, the wonderful donut extravaganza in front of Ruby Brink.
That is your Strawberry Festival favorite.
Well, I couldn't let Strawberry Festival pass without having one of those. But
and it had returned on the, as a menu item?
Dragon. Dragon's Head Cider makes cider donuts. And those are, I think, on their...
Were they selling them in front of their building or something?
In front of Ruby Brink.
Oh, okay.
They had a little tent kind of thing, and they had a grill, and they were selling smash burgers on donuts.
Oh, nice.
And then they were selling this thing that I've been dreaming about for a year since I had it last year, and it's a cider donut cut in half, and it's got whipped cream that's combined with cream cheese, and it's all whipped together, and that's on it. And then just a whole ton of berries, strawberries, and then a strawberry sauce over that. And you can't even tell me I've ever had anything better than that.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that dreams are made of, really. I just had to have one.
Mm-hmm.
So I did.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah.
I got one. I took them home. I got two and I took them home. I wasn't going to eat it there. I took them home and I did share it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but one's never enough.
You know what? I have a suggestion for like if sometimes crowds are too much and you go, you know, when you go to the Strawberry Festival, what I've found to do that really captures what I like the best about it, sort of the hometowniness of it, is going Friday. So when they close the street on Friday, and it's just basically we're just a bunch of gawkers and lookers, and people are setting up their stands, but the roads are closed.
Right.
And some of the venues, the food venues, are open. There's music that starts to play in Ober Park. And it's really fun because it's kind of like it's a block party.
Well, you know, that's what keeps me away from it is I just, crowds, I don't like it.
It's not, this is not my thing. This is a light smothering of islanders, and it's become more of a thing each year, the Friday before. And then I went to, I thought I was being funny, and then I like half the people around
me. You are
me,
funny.
Thank you. I think so, but some people, we were listening to this, was it Hell's Bells or something? It was this AC/DC cover band.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, my God.
I have to say, they were amazing.
Were they?
But it's not my forte.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like, I was saying, wait, somebody told me this was going to be a cover band for the Carpenters. I was, and people turned around. They said, did you really think it was going to be this? And I was sort of going along with it. I went, yeah, we've only just begun. I started singing a couple of the Carpenter songs. I go, this is not the Carpenters. And
But, and they didn't get it?
Then they realized you were serious? Then they realized I was being a smarty pants. That's good. But they were really good. You know, it was louder than my ears wanted to tolerate. But I, boy, if you're a good musician, you're a good musician. And
right.
Then these women were incredible. And so that was fun.
And that was on Friday?
That was on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And then Friday we listened to, and I never stay up late. Like, I just can't.
I
but
don't
I did.
Either.
My nephew was in town and my sister, so I had to man up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't have a 42-year-old beat me at my own game. So we stayed up. We published The Quest. I like that band a lot. And that's local band.
Uh-huh.
And those guys are crazy good.
Yeah.
And so we did that. And yeah, it's one of those things. Plus, I live so close. It's like you do.
Yeah.
It's easy to sort of dash in, dash
out.
And
dash out. Yeah.
And
it doesn't have to be an excursion.
Right. You can spend like 2 or 3 hours, come back, take naps like we all need to
and
do.
And then if you need to go back,
and then go
you can,
back.
Yeah.
And,
well, you know, I had somebody tell me, like you were talking about a little secret to go on Friday.
Uh-huh.
I had somebody tell me that they like to go maybe 2 hours before it closes on Sunday. Because nobody's around.
Yeah.
And all the and sometimes the food vendors offer their food for less because they want to get rid of it. They don't want to take it home. And he said, I just take my grocery bags with me there and I fill it up with whatever food is on sale. And then I take it home and eat it for 2 days.
Seriously?
That's
true?
That's true. That's a true story.
Oh, my
story,
God. I might have
on
to
Sunday
call
afternoon.
Myself on my bike and
I know.
Get some pad thai and get some, you know, a Filipino noodles. And,
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And a corn dog.
Corn dog.
Yeah. What I like about the food, though, at Strawberry Festival is it's not all junk. It's good food.
No, there's really good food there. If you think it's junk, you're not really paying attention.
Right.
There's always going to be that great carnival kind of food that...
Well, you want some
of
that.
You got to have some funnel... I didn't see any funnel cakes, but... But yeah, but... Plus, and what was great is we would do stuff like... Since my friends, my sister and nephew were visiting, we stop at the Syrian food place, and my brother was here too, and my sister-in-law, they came over from Tacoma, so it was like a little family affair, and it was great, and so everybody get a little bit of something, and
then you didn't have to cook.
I did not.
You
have
didn't
to
have to entertain. That's really nice. Yeah.
But I made a pie. Did I make a pie?
Did you?
I made a cake.
Oh.
I made this cake we're eating today. That's
right.
Oh, you
did.
Yeah.
So how many times have you made this cake?
You know, I have gone crazy because the last time I made it, I had Rainier cherries, and I made it with Rainier cherries. And then
so
before
good.
That, I made it with apricots.
I see. And is this a new to you this season recipe?
You know what's funny?
Or is it a last year recipe?
You know what? It's like a 10-year ago recipe I've rediscovered because somebody contacted me from, a comment on the blog saying, it was nice enough. They said, like, it'd be nice if the recipe was in the recipe post. And I went and looked, and apparently the software that where you house your recipes so you can print them and all that stuff has never not been updated, and they just tanked it. So I have to go back in and update them. And so,
I'm sure you'll get that done right away.
Yeah, right away. And so, but I did do it for this person because I said, okay. And I went through, like an 8-inch stack of papered recipes trying to remember
trying to find it.
And then I went, Eileen's recipe. Okay, I can go to her blog. Hopefully she's got it,
And she did.
And she did.
Yeah. I love old recipes that you rediscover. Yeah. I haven't done that. Well, the tortillas.
Yeah.
You know, that was like, I'm sure it's been 10 years since I made tortillas.
I love it when you have people in your life that are you have a fan club, It's such a nice thing because you're like, as you're always, you're walking around, bumping into walls going like, I hate myself. I'm stupid. Why am I so fat? Yeah. All that stuff. You're like, why are my teeth so yellow? I'm an awful person. I shouldn't live. So anyway, it's not that. I'm exaggerating. Sorry,
I don't know. I've had coffee with you a few times when both of us have sat across the table and said, I just can't.
I just can't.
I just can't anymore.
But just in case you're worried, I'm mentally fine.
Yes,
thank
and
you.
We're
I'm
not very suicidal.
Healthy. No, we're good. Yeah. But my nephew was visiting, and he's great because he lives out loud. He likes.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah. And so what I love about him is being my biggest fan, he always props me up, like if I do anything, and not even like, not as, I mean, he's earnest about it. He's genuine. And he goes, Uncle Tom, who does this? I go, what? I just made a pie. He goes, who makes pies? He lives, he lives in Miami. Like in Miami, they don't do this stuff, I guess. I don't know. But
I'm sure they make pies.
They make pies. But everything I do, he sings my praises.
That's so nice.
It was really nice. So, but the thing that you thought I would have made gold out of 10 aluminum, wrappers, was the, I made waffles out of my old fashioned cast iron Griswold.
Yes. I love
that. Put on the stoves.
Yeah.
But I made my sesame crunch waffles, which are the ones I got to make these for you, that I tried to duplicate the Sunlight Cafe on Roosevelt's version, because I used to always go get them there. And I think this is pretty close. And it was so funny because he goes, oh, man, those waffles. And it'd be like 20 minutes later, he'd look over and he goes, those waffles.
Isn't that just the best?
It was the best.
Really one of the reasons we love to cook. I mean, yeah. I love the sort of, I was going to say ceremony, process of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
The pouring and the stirring and the flipping and the whatever it is you're doing in whatever dish. I love that part. I especially love the getting ready to do it, you know, getting the stuff out and thinking about the recipes.
How do you feel, though? Like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't necessarily do it for the raves, but I'm always surprised by people. You can tell they don't cook because you did something that took a substantial amount of time and ingredients, and you serve it, and they're just like shoveling it in. It's like, and you're thinking like, okay, I'm waiting for like, oh, this is really good, at least that or something.
I know.
And then it's just sort of like nothing, you know.
Well, you have to.
Kind of like I was shoveling in that cake a few minutes ago.
Yeah, that you said it was good.
I did.
No, you guys were you were loving it.
We're appreciative.
I felt very
well. It is. I always excuse people, though, you know, because they just don't know.
They don't know.
And you can't ask them for what they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have people who I know don't cook and I'm just having them over for breakfast or dinner or whatever, I just make it real easy on myself.
Yeah.
I don't, you know. And then when I have my foodie friends over, gosh, I hate that word.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I don't like that word.
I think it's been overused. It's like obsession, like I'm obsessed with.
Or awesome.
Awesome for sure. Yeah. And obsessed. Like everybody, like it seems to be the social media word. Oh, I'm obsessed with tissues.
With this now. Yeah.
You know, you're going, are you really obsessed with tissues? Okay.
Yeah.
Go blow your nose.
But back to your point about rave reviews.
Yeah.
I live for rave reviews.
Right on, sister.
I mean, to be honest with you, that's one of the gifts of cooking for people, is they have appreciation in their heart. And people who love food and can appreciate what you go through are just, it's just, I like it. I mean, it feels good. It's like a big hug.
And it is.
It's like if you're an artist and you're painting things and people appreciate your work. It's like I feel appreciated when I do that. I also think that
one of the real gifts in life is if you're, I don't want to say, it sounds sort of technical, like situationally aware. Like if you go through life just sort of like a rubber ducky down a river bumping into rocks. Okay, that's your shtick.
That's fine.
But
go
if you,
ahead.
Exactly. Go ahead. Go do that silly thing, you little rubber ducky. But, you know, that is the thing about, especially with cooking and entertaining and friendships, is that you actually take the time to think about what's going on, what happened, how we got here.
Right.
And I'm all for, I think the best gift you can give yourself is appreciating and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It enhances everything.
It really does, no matter what the subject.
Exactly.
I mean, it could be dinner. It could be a walk in the park.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a gratitude for human connection, which I really believe food does for us. Food, if you're at a table, I mean, I've often said, and everyone kind of, well, not everyone, but people kind of roll their eyes when I say this, but, you know, if people would sit at a table together and speak honestly from their hearts, we could have world peace.
Yeah.
We really could. I think we demonstrated that 6 months ago or so when
with the World Cup?
No. here in this very studio where we had a Jewish woman and a Muslim woman and a Christian woman. And they all talked about their food and their rituals and the things that they did that were markedly different in many aspects. Mm-hmm. But it all came down to serving and being at the table and enjoying what you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
And golly, if people could just do that sometimes, I think we'd be better off.
Well, it's kind of hard to keep from strangling the person next to you when they start talking.
But they're not going to talk about that. They're not going to talk about that. They're going to talk about the pie or the, you know, the moonlight or the music or something else that's not. Yeah, because we're all in trouble right now. But but food helps. I'm telling you.
There's a little magic thread that runs through, sort of humanity with food and humanity.
Right.
I was up at, when my sister was visiting, we went up to Mount Rainier.
Nice.
It was really nice. And it was, I hadn't been in ages. And you feel like a total bumpkin. You're going through the, you know, through the big gates, you know, there, the big archway. And and you're going, oh, it really is pretty. You know, it's like, you remember it's grand and wonderful, but then when you're going through it, you're going, oh my God, this is why, like in 1889 or I think 1899, when it became a national park, it makes sense. Like you look at it and you go, this is exceptionally beautiful.
Exquisite.
If this doesn't raise your heart rate and make you tear up, you need to get a defibrillator.
You know, that's, or at least a pacemaker.
Pacemaker.
That's the thing. I think in these times that we're experiencing right now, it's really important to take those moments for ourselves. And you got to do it with family.
I did with my sister and a friend. And when we went up and had a picnic, and so your conversation earlier made me think of it.
Mm-hmm.
We were we brought picnic and we went to Paradise, to the lodge.
Uh-huh.
And of course it's summer, so it's packed out the gills. But I would say half the people there are foreign born, you know, visitors.
And it makes you wonder how many local people have been.
Yeah.
It's sort of like being in New York and not going to the, you know,
Carnegie
Statue
Hall,
of Liberty or, you know.
Yeah. Well, and so we sat with these people. We were on this big table because there was no room, you know, and you had to share, which Americans are not into.
Right.
You
know? Right. Like,
oh, can I have this 18-foot banquet table by myself, please?
Yeah.
But it was funny because we went around the table and, you know, we'd be acknowledgments and hello and you're having a good time and just sort of general conversation.
Nice.
It was really nice. And so there were Germans there. There was a Dutch family that were hysterical on the end of the table. Then there was a Chinese family, and then we were at the end with this really lovely Japanese couple who we weren't sure if we wanted to share, but we didn't know if it'd be like sort of déclassé, like, would you like some of our food, you know? Because they had a really nice lunch, and we thought, oh no, they have like these sort of made up bento boxes that are like, you know,
really beautiful.
Oh yeah. Their artwork. And I don't know where they got them, but boy, those were beautiful. But it was really great because it was sort of like you're all around the table, you're enjoying a spectacular place, and your hearts are all in the right place.
I rest my case.
Exactly.
I rest my case. That's what I'm talking about.
I was going to start singing, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony.
Well, we could sing that. Maybe we'll
sing
that next time.
Teach.
Next time.
Okay.
Next time, Tom.
All right. I'll practice.
Sit down.
Okay, get out. All right, I'm sorry. Now, you know, I don't want to change the subject, but I do want to change the subject because you were telling me about it early before we went on air, and it's not a food related, but it's an awesome Vashon related thing. You're working on a play, right? You're working in a play. You've got a part.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, Kat Eggleston has written a play called The Wren.
Island treasure that she is.
Yes, she has written a play, and of course, there's music in it. Surprise, surprise. And it is based in some old Irish music and old Irish legends. In I don't know, way back, millennia, way thousands of years ago.
Those Irish go way back.
They go way back, and they got some history.
That's right.
You know, on St. Stephen's Day, which is the 26th of December, day after Christmas. This is kind of gross, but little
don't tell that story.
Little boys would go out into the woods with big sticks, big sticks and kill a wren. And then they would bring the wren back to town and hold it in their little hands and go door to door and ask for a penny to bury the king, because the wren was referred to as the King of Birds. Now, this goes back to legends of pagan legends and pagan practices of, you know, exalting someone for a year to be the king and treating them like wonderful kings and then killing them, sacrificing them. You know, it's like it's
like
a sacrifice.
That's a bad order.
Well, yeah. You know, that so that's
I'm sorry, I was being very judgmental.
Yes, you better stop.
I'll stop it.
Stop it right now.
Okay.
So anyway, the play is based on this, but it takes place in 1997 in Chicago.
Did you tell me she wrote it?
In
she
a bar. Yes, Kat wrote it.
Okay.
And she's been fascinated by this legend for a long time and the where's and the what's and how and why. And so I won't belabor you with the entire story, but let me tell you that there is magic in it. And there's beautiful music with live musicians. They're not dead.
they weren't killed by
the Wren.
Retribution of the Wren. Yeah.
No, but there's retribution. There's mystical quality to
wow.
it. And I am just so pleased to be part of it. It's a stellar cast. And
when's it playing? What's going on?
It plays the last weekend in August at O Space.
Oh, great.
In the Black Box, which is perfect. And I'm the bartender. I own the bar.
And you got like two roles or? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were like during intermission, you went out and pour some drinks.
In
the play.
In the play, because it takes place in a bar.
Okay.
In 1997. And it's the day after Christmas. It's the 26th, so it's St. Stephen's Day.
Okay.
So the talk becomes about this wren, and some of the music is about it. It's just fabulous.
Oh, it's going to be great.
It's going to be great fun. So thank you for asking about
that. Yeah, absolutely. And for those, if you're new to the island, or you may not know about Kat Eggleston, but Kat Eggleston, you just need to hike your fanny down to your computer and go listen to music by her. She's
give yourself a gift.
Love her.
Yeah, she just got back from Chicago for a two month gig playing in, I don't know the name of the theater, but it was like a Broadway production of Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, and she was the storyteller, the troubadour.
Yes, I mean, she was like in it.
The narrator. She was the narrator.
She has spoken with me a little bit about that experience and talked about really how marvelous the actors were and the set. She showed me photographs of the set. Unbelievable. I mean, it was like a New York City Broadway production. And she said it was really a lot of work.
Sure.
She was there for 2 months and didn't have any time to do tourist stuff because they were either rehearsing or redoing or, you know, whatever they were doing.
Yeah, that's like serious theater, man.
It's a serious theater. And I guess I feel that way about The Wren, too. It's a serious group of actors doing meaningful work.
That's pretty awesome when you can continue creative outlets. I think that's one of the hardest things about aging in
it
a way,
is
creativity and keeping your mojo going.
Well, my mojo is slowing. Because we're rehearsing, you know, and I don't get home till 10 o'clock at night, and that's like way past my bedtime.
What's your kitty say about that?
Oh, he's fine. He doesn't care. He's just a lovely, lovely guy. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
So, did you have anything else we wanted to cover? I think I feel like I hogged up all the air this time.
No, you were really good.
And we're kind of running out of time, but I think... like we say every time, we really are going to update our Facebook page.
what was our reason this time that we didn't?
I don't know. It was something about, I don't remember. We've run out of excuses, Tom.
We have.
We have to take 2 hours, have coffee, and fix that page.
I know.
Because people actually ask me about it. Like, where's the recipe for the blah, blah? Because
well,
I looked.
It's too bad.
And we have 50 new views this week.
Excellent.
So, and then they get on there and there's like something on there for 3 months ago.
Well, but the problem is we, hey, technical people out there, we can't.
We don't know how to do
it. Well, no, it won't give me access.
Well, it's never going to give you access. We've tried everything.
Even
and
as an editor,
I even had a technical person come to try to do that.
Okay.
And she thought it worked, and it didn't.
Okay.
So I think we have to delete, and start over.
Okay, we're going to work on this. We don't want to delete because we have such good content.
Well, we do, and we have such good followers.
We do.
Have people
so
who,
let's,
it
okay,
matters.
Well, stand by, kids. We're
okay,
gonna,
everybody
we're gonna,
stand by.
We're going to get somebody on this and be on our way.
Well, thank you, Tom. Truman, it was wonderful to see you as always.
That's
thank
right.
Thank you so much for your help. And to our listeners, we'll see you in a month. Gosh, we're always on the fourth Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a whole month.
August, that'll be when...
I know.
That'll be when summer's kind of same.
Well, yeah, no, but we'll I love that time month. Of year, yeah, through the end of October. So
we'll be talking,
all right, everybody.
BLTs, baby.
Yes, we will. I hope you have a lovely week ahead, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.